Good morning. If you look at your Bible reading this week, it's about peace, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity this morning to talk about peace. And as Lee was talking, I've thought many times this week about Tuesday morning early. I was asleep, enjoying great peace. Sleep and rest is a wonderful thing. But while I was sleeping safely, and our town was very safe, unbelievable lack of peace in terms of the world as a tornado ripped through many places. In fact, I think 6 or 7 different tornadoes were reported. Hard to appreciate peace. This morning, you may be sitting here. Everything is easy. Everything has been going your way. You may be at peace in a sense. So at peace, it's hard for you to think about God. It's hard for you to think about the need for God. Hard for you to think about walking a pathway in life that leads to peace. Yet, on the other hand, there may be some folks in this room whose life is in such a mess, as we would say. Things are happening in life that are difficult to deal with. Things that are happening in life that frustrate us. Things that are happening in life that create turmoil in our minds, and our minds are just spinning. Sometimes Jan calls it zoning out. I get to thinking, and my mind runs about 100 miles an hour, I think. And I get to thinking about so many things, and I get to thinking about so many people. And I've said before, if I could do anything for this group this morning, I would love to encourage you to have peace of heart and peace of mind. And this morning, as I think about that with you, I'm going to be ultimately talking about 4 steps that we make on that pathway. If you could just look at that picture and think about walking down that pathway. And if on that pathway, it's not even at the end of the pathway. As you walk down that pathway, peace can be yours. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world round about you. God gives us the opportunity for peace as we walk that path. Sometimes I pray with people and for people who are critically ill. And one of the phrases that I use sometimes is lead this person down their life's pathway gently, peaceably. And it's not an easy time for that to occur, but God gives us the opportunity for that. And I think about peace, and I've mentioned to you before that artists have drawn their depiction of peace. This is one of those pictures. Beautiful scene with the mountain. Lake is very calm. No wind. It's just a peaceful setting. Nothing is moving. And this morning, this might be a picture of your life. You might have things in such an order. God may have blessed your life in such a way that this picture represents your life to some degree. But it's quite likely that almost all of us, if we are realistic about life, this is what our life is more like. It's not like that calm water, but it's like that rushing water that's banging off of rocks and falling down the cliff. And it's hard to get a grip sometimes on what peace really, really is. And as you observe this picture this morning, did you notice there's a bird in the picture? If you look closely, you'll see a bird. I'm kind of the person that would have to have the bird pointed out to me. I'm not very observant. In fact, I'm probably one of the most unobservant people that you know. My life is peaceful a lot of times because I'm walking down that pathway and not thinking about things that would just tear some of your minds up. And I tell people sometimes, I may need to be a little more like you sometimes, but you need to be a little more like me in not letting your mind wind so tight and get so upset about so many things. Now, if you have noticed there in the cliff, in this cleft, if you will, of the rock, there's a bird. That bird is at peace. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. As you think about all the things that are going on in your life, there are people in this room today who are here for the purpose of going to a funeral. I was able to attend a funeral of a really good friend on Friday. The blessings of life come in a lot of different ways. But the difficulties of life come in a lot of different ways. And what God really wants for you this morning is for you to be at peace and safe in the cleft of the rock. We sing, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand." How about you this morning? Is your life so well ordered, no matter what the crashing of the waters around you are, no matter how far some of that water falls down the cliff, are you at peace because your life this morning is solidly resting on that solid rock? Because as we sing, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, you may feel good, you may have fun, you may look good, you may have a great job, you may have all those kinds of things in the world going your way, but unless you are in the cleft of the rock, standing on that solid ground that we read about and sing about in God's Word, you cannot be really at peace this morning. And so I want to encourage you to think about that bird, you being that bird in the cleft, in the hollow of God's hand as we work. Well, the Bible talks to us about three kinds of peace. If you're walking down that pathway toward peace, you have to think about three different areas of life that God mentions to us. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So that first area of peace that you want to think about this morning, more than anything else, is being at peace with God. Because life does not promise us tomorrow. God does not promise us tomorrow. I described myself as sleeping peacefully through the night on Tuesday. There were people, we've heard about some of them this morning from Lee, who were sleeping peacefully. Life was good. The neighborhood was quiet. And then in a moment, the neighborhood is literally blown to pieces and lives are lost. We do not know what tomorrow brings. The Lord knew what He was talking about when He had James record these words. What is your life? Your life is as a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. So we want to be at peace with God this morning. Secondly, the Bible talks about the peace of God in one of the verses that you heard read just a little while ago. The peace of God, when you're willing to do what God says and seek peace with Him, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we are with people who are really, really struggling with their physical life, and there's pain, and there are long nights and long days, and it's hard to breathe, it's hard to live, we see some people who take that so well. They're able to talk to you about looking forward to going home, looking forward to being with God, looking forward to being with brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on before. That's the peace of God. And sometimes we don't get it. I hear people all the time when they talk about life and how hard life is sometimes, they'll say, "Oh, well, it's better than the alternative." No, it is not. The alternative that God gives us is better than anything we can have in this life, no matter how wonderful it is. And we think about all the great things we need to be longing for and looking for, that time when we can be with the Lord. And we can have that peace of God that surpasses the world's ability to understand it. We need peace with God, and when we have it, we can have the peace of God. And then we need to consistently strive to have peace with other people. And it's hard work. It is hard work. Every relationship has differences. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. Those great marriages that you see that are just so wonderful and last years and years, I've heard a few of those people say, well, we've never had an argument. I might believe they've never had an overt argument, but I don't believe those minds haven't been turning over and they haven't had some pretty serious disagreements. We handle those things differently, but God teaches us to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Well, there are four steps that I want to encourage you to think about this morning toward achieving peace. If you can see yourself just as you live life, it's not just about walking down a peaceful pathway in a forest like is on the screen. It's about all those times when you are in turmoil, whatever that turmoil is. There are four steps that you need to be thinking about in your life as you begin to think about peace. Number one, stop worrying. If I could get you this morning to stop worrying, and that doesn't mean that there aren't some things about which you ought to be anxious or concerned. When Paul writes, be anxious in nothing, what he's really talking about there is do not be so anxious in life that you lose your trust in God. You forget who you are and whose you are and where you're headed in this life. We need to be thinking about those things that do not cause us to be overly anxious. There are in this room some worry warts. You can't quit worrying about things you can do nothing about. You just overly give yourself misery and teach yourself how hard life is by worrying over things that you can do nothing about. There are some things that you can do something about. Be anxious enough to do what you need to do to get that done. But Paul says, in nothing be anxious, but by everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Then, that's when the peace of God that is going to surpass our ability to understand it in this world will come to us. Stop worrying. Number two, turn your cares over to the Lord. Turn your cares over to God in prayer. This passage, this great passage in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, is so hard for us. When Peter encourages this group of people, now please remember, this book was written to a lot of people where the church was receiving lots of pressure from the outside. They were being punished because they were Christians. They were being put down because they are Christians. It wasn't the calm, easy morning, I'm assuming that's the way it was at your house, that we had this morning in getting up and getting dressed and getting out the door and come. And I would just remind you, this is not the hour to be catching up on that hour you lost last night, but to be thinking about peace and what that is about. And if you are burdened with some serious things in life, do everything that it is possible for you to do about it. Have that much anxiety about you, and then turn everything else over to the Lord. And I always now remember verse 8 coming right after this passage. Why do you want to turn the things over to the Lord and cast your anxieties upon the Lord? The next verse says the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. If you're one of those worry warts who can't stop overthinking things and being so upset and worried about life, you need to think about the devil sitting next to you in that pew. He is longing for you to keep worrying. He wants you to be so anxious. You think God is unfair, the world is unfair, woe is me, and I am undone. I can't do anything. The devil is going about as a roaring lion after you if you're a worrywart. So turn your cares over to God. And then this is so important and so hard. Change your thought patterns. Look at this passage. This is kind of an end result of being at peace, if you will. Finally, you see, we've already been encouraged to rejoice in the Lord in this passage, to let our sweet and gentle disposition be made known to the Lord, to turn everything over to God in prayer instead of being anxious for everything. And now, finally, this is not the last step, but it's getting near the end if you want a peaceful life. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, whatever is excellent. Think about things that are excellent. We spend so much time worrying about things that don't make any difference at all. Think about those excellent things. And if there's anything worthy of praising, and every day we have things that God gives to us that we ought to be thankful for and praising Him about, those are the things that you think about. So if you want that pathway toward peace, you change your thought patterns if you're a worrywart, and God gives you many things here to think about. And then you've got to listen. You've got to listen to God. Everybody wants peace, but we just won't listen. I've caused myself lots of work because I didn't listen. I used to build fences in the summertime when I was a student at Freed Hardeman. My brother was really good at it, and I was somewhat of a dud. And he would try to help me think about the easiest way to get that done. And once you get it done, leave things alone. If there's a minor thing, don't make something major out of it. I helped him by making major things several times out of little jobs that were already done. So when we start thinking about life, we've got to listen to God. So here's what Paul gives in verse 9 in Philippians 4. Those things that you learned, you've already received them, you've heard them, and you have seen exampled by Paul. Practice these things. I had a chance on the funeral on Friday to reminisce about my childhood back in the 50s. And I was just thinking about fun, but I was thinking about the lady who died was a sister to one of the most impressive people in my life. One who helped me and led me and taught me. She's the first person that ever called me a preacher. Made me sick when she did it because I was only about 9 and I was not going to be a preacher. But I got to reminisce about that. And I just started thinking about my life and the things that I've heard and I've learned. I saw exampled in these great people I was thinking about. In my mom, in my great teachers, in people in my life, sitting right here in this room. I've learned a lot, and I give thanks to God for that. But whatever I was taught, ever how much I have known, I have read the Bible through a number of times, but you know what? That doesn't really mean anything. It means absolutely nothing unless I take what I have learned and received and heard and saw exampled in the people in the Bible and people in my life who've been trying to teach me, unless I do what God says, it means nothing. It's great to quote the Great Commission. Quoting it doesn't matter. What matters is doing it. It's great to read the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and love, all of those things that God wants us to have. It's fantastic to quote that, but it doesn't mean anything unless that fruit is produced by the Spirit of God in our lives, and it won't happen unless we do the things that we've received and heard and learned from God Himself through His Word and from godly people all of our lives. You've got to do what God says. This morning, your life's in turmoil, if it's because of sin, you've got to do what you learned. If you've never been baptized into Christ, your life should be in turmoil spiritually. You should be burdened by that. But cast those anxieties on the Lord because He cares for you. Repent of those sins. Turn away from them. Confess His name and be buried with Him in baptism. Do what you've heard and what you've learned. If you're a child of God and you've let things go because life has gotten hard, you've gotten so excited about the cares and the pleasures of the world, or just the difficulties of the world, and you've stopped being who you need to be, turn that around and practice the things that you have heard and learned and have seen examples. That's what this next song is about. What a beautiful song. I love this song. I hope you'll think about it. And I hope if you need, you'll not only just pray that God will hide you under His wings, but you'll do something about it if you need to. Come as we stand and as we sing.